If not, you can enlist tonight. And if you are, endure hardness as a good soldier. If you don't mind, we're going to cover a lot of Bible. I hope that's okay with you. And I may not make it through all of it tonight. But I enjoyed the subject. And at the same time, the subject I'll be covering, to me, is just of very, very great importance. And where to start and all that, I'm just trying to decide. But I'm going to do a lot of leading up to what I want to get to and all that sort of thing. But let's see. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44. We'll start there, and then we'll be going to some various places and covering some things that I believe very, very, very important. Ezekiel chapter 44. And I'll, like I say, going to do some groundwork, give you an idea where we're at, where I'm headed, verses of scripture to show it. And this has to do with what's coming. All right, this is going to be some prophetic stuff, not in the sense of, you know, Russia and Gog and Magog, not that sort of thing, but it is stuff that's on its way, and how you're going to be during that time if you live for the Lord now, or if you don't. And to me, I find this very, very interesting and yet very sobering. And Ezekiel 44, and we'll start in verse 9. Ezekiel 44 and verse 9. What's going on here, and this is what I'm going to explain here in a minute, but just for those of you, what you're going to read now, these verses here are going to apply at the very beginning of the millennium. And I'm going to explain all that, but when, just those of you that, you know, and then I'll explain more of it. But this, what you're reading about, is the beginning of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, all right? And that's what these verses are going to be covering. And then down as I go through it and all, I'm going to apply it to us and how it fits and where you're going to fit in and that sort of thing. But so there's going to be some meat. There's going to be some hopefully sobering thoughts to get you out of now, because we get so wrapped up in everything right now that you lose sight of what's coming. And in so doing, you don't strive for the mastery. You don't live in the light of eternity. And when that happens, you don't live as clean. You don't do as right. And Ezekiel 44, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger. Now, this is written to Israel. All right, this isn't going to exactly apply to you. It'll have a spiritual application, but not a doctrinal. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house, and ministering to the house, they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. Because they ministered unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. They shall not come near unto me, to the office of a priest unto me. I'll explain that in a bit, but that's an amazing statement. That's Jesus Christ saying, I don't want them around me. I don't want him to say that to me. Now, if you're saved, we're ever going to be with the Lord. So he's not going to say that. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But that's quite a statement right there. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, they shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves. Now watch this. We'll come back to it. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. That's profound. You're saying, what? We'll get to it. We'll get to it. And when they come forth into the utter court, even into the utter court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only pull their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Father, Lord, I pray that you guide us tonight. I pray, God, that you give us understanding of these things. And one day, we will be glad, or we will be ashamed at the way we lived today. Father, I pray you to help me to explain this in a way that's easy to understand, that would motivate us to want to do right and to live for thee in these last days before you come. I pray, God, that you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, any day now the Lord's coming, and today would be fine with me. Let's go. The Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And the thought of Jesus coming any day motivates me, and yet it stirs me to want to do right. And we really don't know when he's coming, but as you look around, you see the signs and things going on. We see it's just closer and closer and closer every day. And there is the tendency to say, oh, they've been saying that for years. Don't fall into that trap. Don't do that. He is coming, and we're to be ready, and we're to be looking, we're to be longing, that sort of thing. But the Lord's coming back. If it came today, we would leave this world, we'd be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we'd meet the Lord in the air, we'd go up to be with the Lord. The Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's going to be 7 years tribulation on this earth. I don't want to assume you know all this, but I believe you know all this. So I'm just going to skim it. But we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. 7 years on this earth, there's a one world government, one world religion, one world monetary system. This world will be run by the Antichrist, Satan manifest in the flesh. And you're watching the preliminaries of that all take place. The things you were seeing today, 100 years ago, they would be like, they'd be scared to death lightning was going to fall any minute because they had a sense of holiness. And at the same time, they'd be like, get ready, we're gone. And we really are. It's getting real close. And we go up, and there's going to be 7 years tribulation on this earth. At the end of those 7 years, we're coming back on white horses. Just so you don't take my word for it, because I'll go over scriptures now. Go to Revelation 19. Let's catch it up there. And I want you to I want to slow down. I want you to get this. This will probably be a two-parter. We'll see. But one of these days, we're going up. It's going to be 7 years, and then we're coming back on white horses. Jesus Christ is going to be leading the way. And I'm glad those horses are not wicked. I don't like horses. Ever since I rode one, they said, oh, this is a nice, gentle horse, you know. And I was about 11 years old, and they said, oh, this nice, gentle horse, this is Lady, and she's a nice, gentle horse and everything, you know, all that stuff. And I got on Lady, and Lady knew that I didn't know anything about riding horses, and nice, gentle Lady didn't want me on her back. And so we went horseback riding, which never really thrilled me anyway. I just sit on a horse, I felt like a bump on a log, you know. It's just like, okay. And, you know, this girl, she's riding Ricky, and so we're going up on this mountaintop, and ladies started picking up speed. And I wasn't giving it any gas. But Lady, I noticed it was getting a little rougher, you know, and I'm bouncing around a bit more, and I'm thinking, oh, this is strange, you know. And things are starting to speed up, and I'm like, wow, what's going on? And I had the reins, and Lady, she's getting excited. She's like, ha ha, I got it now. And there was an oak tree dead ahead. And Lady knew exactly the elevation of the limb and everything and said, that's it. And she's going straight for that tree. Actually, a little to the side, she's going to go under that branch. And I tried the brakes, but they didn't work. And so I tried the steering wheel. It didn't work either. And I mean, going straight for it. And I just ducked. And I'm on this horse, bent over, the branches is in my back, pressing me down. I think that horse was on its tiptoes, if they got him. Not if they got him or not. And she's going back and forth, and I'm just screaming, going, ah! I don't know what to do. I haven't liked horses ever since. I just think they're ungodly. But those horses, when we come back, aren't going to be that way. They're going to be beautiful. I mean, it's going to be great. And folks, this is going to happen. One day, this will happen to you if you're saved. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, this isn't going to happen to you. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you've never been born again, then when you die, you're going to hell. And Jesus Christ loved you and died for you and wants you to get saved, and we want you to get saved. And it's not joining this church, not being baptized. You need to be born again by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, all right? But this sermon is going to be aimed at the Christians. So if you're not saved, get saved. Get your sins washed under the blood. Make sure you're going to heaven when you die. It's free. You know, it's not through me. It's not a religion. It's Jesus Christ. Get saved. It's that simple. I mean, just admit you're no good. You're on your way to hell. And Jesus Christ is your only ticket out. That's it. But one of these days, after that rapture, and after we go through the judgment seat of Christ, then up in heaven with them golden streets and the beauty and everything, there's going to be these white horses, and we're going to mount up. And Jesus Christ is going to be in the front. And he's going to mount up on the most beautiful white horse. And we're going to, I don't know what you call it. We're going to be on those horses, ride those horses to the edge of heaven. And Jesus Christ is going to raise up that horse. It's going to get up on its back feet. And he's going to say, charge! And heaven's going to open. And all that column of saints on those horses with Jesus Christ in the lead are going to go. And we're flying out of heaven. We're coming back to this earth. And you say, you're nuts. Thank you. Amen. I'll tell you what, you're nuts if you don't believe that. I got more evidence to believe that than they do for evolution.
That's right.
Notice what it says there, Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, Revelation 19, 11. And he that sat upon him is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He's coming back, and when he comes back this time, you know what? He's upset. He's angry. Matter of fact, he's so angry that when he comes down here, he's stomping people and rejoicing and laughing as they die and as the blood stains his garments. You say, who would do that? Jesus Christ is going to do that. He says, I will mock when your calamity cometh, he says in Proverbs chapter 1. You ever study the laughter of God? It's a sobering thing. Notice here, verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Then there's no doubt who it is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, John 1:1. That's Jesus Christ. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That's us. That's us. And we're going to be riding those horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's my Savior. That's Jesus Christ. And there comes a point when he's had enough. And this is it. Keep your place there. Go to Zechariah, a second to the last book of the Old Testament. That sword comes out of his mouth, and I'll show you what happens. And I don't want to get off subject, but I'm building up to the millennium. That second advent, that Armageddon, takes place right at the start of the millennium, or at the end of the tribulation, either way, right in there. And he's coming back on a white horse. There's a sword that goes out of his mouth. And keep your place there in Zechariah. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at that first, and then we'll go to Zechariah. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. Only he who now letteth will let until it be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital W, be revealed. Now watch this. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness. See that thing right there? With the brightness of his coming. When Jesus Christ comes back, there's a brightness, there's a flash, it's said to be a sword that goes out of his mouth, and watch what happens. Go to Zechariah. Look at Zechariah, and for the context, look at Zechariah 14 and verse 1. Zechariah 14, 1. The Bible says, behold, the day of the Lord, that's second advent. You understand when I say second advent, when Jesus Christ came as a babe in the manger, that's the first advent. Now he's coming back at a second advent to the earth. And that's when I say second advent, that's what I'm talking about. The second time Jesus Christ's feet touch the earth. All right? And context, Zechariah 14:1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Now watch verse 12 for the sake of time. Well, look at the last part of verse 5. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. That's us. Okay? Look at verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away. Now watch this. While they stand upon their feet. You ever hear the term, they were blown away? Well, it comes from the Bible, all right? And it says that their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. They literally are dissolved while they're standing on their feet. Now, you can call, well, that's not a nuclear blast, although a nuclear blast would do something like that. But that's Jesus Christ. And that brightness, that's a glimpse of it, of what happens when the armies of the Antichrist stand up against him in the valley of Megiddo. We come back, and they literally are consumed away while they're standing on their feet. You say, who is that? That's my Savior. That's my God. And on that day, I'm glad I'm behind him. Amen. But that's it. That's the second advent. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And we're coming back with him. And he's coming back and he's taking over. And we're going to take over this world with him. I'll go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. You realize if the Lord came today, that's only 7 years away. I mean, this isn't that far away. If the Lord came today, it's only 7 years away. And either way, he's coming. It's going to be soon. And you need to be ready. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. It's not a democracy. You obey or else. That's it. It is not a democracy. Rule with a rod of iron. By the way, I love America, don't get me wrong. I vote, I do my civic duty, all right? But it was a democracy that crucified Jesus Christ. They took a vote, and the ones that had the most yays and the loudest screamers were the ones that crucified him. You got to realize that. And anyway, that's another story. But he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. We're in Laodicea, folks. It's where we are. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's our God and that's our Savior. And he's coming back. He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. There's a lot of Christian denominations don't believe that. They're called amillennialists. The A means no. Millennial means 1,000 years. Amillennial means no millennium. They believe they're in it now. It's going to get better and better until the Lord comes back. And that's not true. That's a lie. It's getting worse and worse until the rapture. And then there's a 7-year tribulation. But nevertheless, the Bible states that there's going to be 1,000 years where Jesus Christ reigns on this earth. You say, where? Revelation 20. In Revelation 19, he comes back. Watch Revelation 20. Verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, watch it, 1,000 years. 1,000 years. The religions that don't believe in a millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ, they don't believe that's literal. But the Lord mentions it a number of times right here. It says, bound him 1,000 years. By the way, there's no reason not to take that literal. There's no reason not to. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Look at the end of verse 4. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Look at the end of, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison. You got, 6 times in that passage, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. Say, why? To let you know it's 1,000 years. There's no reason not to believe that right there, that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. We're coming back with him, and he's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, I have a question for you tonight. What are you going to do for 1,000 years? You ever think about that? You ever wonder? What are you going to do for 1,000 years? I mean, in this life, you know, it's 80 and 10. And if by reason of strength, they'd be 80 years, you know. Might live to be 80 and all that, you know, might live to be 90, something like that. But that's really not, you know, it's a vapor. But 1,000 years. You ever wonder what you're going to do for 1,000 years? I'm going to tell you something. Go to Luke chapter 19. The way you live today is going to determine how you live on this earth for 1,000 years. Now you need to think about that. Because it will be manifest for 1,000 years whether you loved Jesus Christ and lived for him or you didn't. And it'll be obvious. You see, if the Lord came tonight, there is at least 1,007 years before the tears are wiped away. So you're trying to guilt trip me. You're trying to scare me. Yeah, I guess I am. But it's still the truth. That's not me saying that. And it'll be obvious if you loved him and lived for him for 1,000 years. And I don't want to discourage you, and in preaching, you've got to have hope. Sometimes I've seen preachers preaching away, and when I was young in the ministry and I'm preaching, it gets so hard that you don't give people hope. You actually discourage them, and I'm not out to do that tonight. But keep your place there in Luke 19. Go to Ephesians, and I want to show you something. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. There's always the truth. Yeah, I could do better. It's always there. And you can play on that thing as a preacher and end up discouraging people. And that's not what I want to do. And I want you to see something here. In Ephesians 6 and verse 8. Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So if you're saved, whatever good thing you do, you're going to get a reward for that. That's what that verse says. You came to church tonight. You know what that is? That's a good thing. You get a reward for that. You say, yeah, but that's what I'm supposed to do. I know, but you're still going to reward for that. For reading your Bible, for praying, for living for the Lord, you're going to be rewarded. All right? And so I just want you to know that. But there's such, how do I say it? Blessings to be had. There's things that the Lord wants for you and me. And I want to explain some of it in the course of this that you say, well, yeah, but I'd be working for those things. Yes, yes. That's why the Lord tells you about them. And yet at the same time, you're working out of a love for Him. It works both ways. But look at Luke chapter 19. In the Gospel of Luke, you have a Gentile application. Matthew, you have a Jewish application. And those of us that are saved, the church is mainly Gentile. Actually, we're Church of God once you get saved. But nevertheless, there will be more of an application in this towards us. And look at Luke 19 and verse 12. Luke 19 and verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That nobleman in the story is Jesus Christ, all right? And verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. In Matthew, they're given different amounts. And their talents, which is Jewish, this is pounds, which is English or Gentile. Notice also here that everybody starts out equal. In Christianity, we all start out with salvation by grace through faith. There's nobody starting out with more or less than anybody else. It's level. And it says there, and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's Calvary. That's, if you wanted to narrow it down, be Israel. That we will not have this man to reign over us. And they took Caesar and they paid for it ever since. And it came to pass that when he was returned, all right, that's Revelation 19. All right, you know where you're at. Jesus Christ coming back. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he takes over the world. Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And I don't have that word trading that interests me, and I don't have it all down right. But trading, in trading, you gotta give something. And I thought, Lord, what? In here it's money, and that's value. And I thought, but in the Christian life, the trading, the only thing we can give out is the Word of God. We've got that, and we can give it, and there's a transaction that takes place. That's all I got. But there's a lot in that word right there, that trading. I don't have it all down. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. That Bible says, we'll reign with Jesus Christ, all right? Well, Jesus Christ is reigning over the world. then if we reign with him, it looks like if you're faithful in what God wants you to do, then you're going to be given cities to reign over. And in that 1,000 years, the death rate is next to nothing. A child is said to be 100 years old. And it's just an amazing time. So the population is just going to go like mad. And if you had Spring Mills, you know, said, here, this is your city. That's no city. Give it just a few years, it will be. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at New York City. New York City in what, 200 years, 300 years? Look at the size of that thing. And that's with murder and cancer and heart attacks and the Black Death and war and on and on. And there's millions there. Man, what's it going to be like in 300 years when there is no war, there is no cancer, there is no Black Death, there's none of that? I mean, it's just going to go like mad. And God's going to give you cities if you're faithful and say, here, reign with me. Don't lose sight of that. Because have you ever wondered what you're going to do for 1,000 years? What about the Christians that aren't faithful? Look at it. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when he had returned to heaven, I read that by trading, verse 16. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. You reap what you sow. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee. That sounds so noble, doesn't it? That sounds so holy. The noble man. Oh, I feared thee. Really? Really? For I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Bad attitude. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? Couldn't you do the basics? Couldn't you just go to church and read your Bible and tithe? You know? Couldn't you just do the basics? That's somebody that gets saved and they're like, well, okay, I'm saved, going to heaven, now I'm going to live for me. A lot of Christians do that. A lot of them do that. Now watch this. Verse 24. He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Now you got to think about that. If you're faithful, there's going to be like a compounded interest or somewhere where it's just, you realize if you live for the Lord, your rewards begin to snowball. That's Pennsylvania. I know you don't like the word snow, but you know the illustration. Snowball going down the hill gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just grows. When you live for the Lord, it just snowballs. And if you don't, then it goes in the other direction. But watch. Verse 24, take from him the pound, give to him that 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath should be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, that's not that wicked servant. That's a different class. In Luke, the wicked servant does not go to hell. In Matthew, he does. There's a difference here. And if you're saved, you're going to heaven. All right? I'm not going to try and put a false guilt and all that stuff. You're going to heaven. You're getting a new body. You've got a mansion waiting for you. On and on and on. Praise God. But what are you going to do for 1,000 years? 1,000 years. Can you imagine? Here's the Lord. He's now in Jerusalem. He's taken over. And he's starting to give out cities. And there you are. And I don't know if it's going to be like this. I don't know, but it's something to think about. And there you are, and perhaps an unfaithful Christian comes up, whatever. And he's given out, and they have an idea of the city that will be theirs. And they're like, oh man, they're just so excited. Oh, this is going to be great. They get there, and the Lord said, no, 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 stop. Take that. Give it to him. It's got 10. Lord, what am I going to do? You ever wonder what you're going to do for 1,000 years? I want to stress that tonight. We get so caught up in right now. And there's so much coming. And you've got to live your life for Jesus Christ and in the light of eternity. Now, this is not eternal. This is 1,000 years. But what are you going to have for 1,000 years? Take your Bibles. Go to 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. There's times in this life. Man, I heard a story about a preacher. He was so discouraged. I mean, just going through it. Things weren't going good and rough and just everything. And he said the only thing that kept him going was the thought that in the millennium I'm going to be reigning for 1,000 years. He said, that's strange. No, it's not. No, it's not. Watch this. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. What are you going to do for 1,000 years. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 11. 2 Timothy 2, 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If you're saved, you are dead with him. That Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, spiritually, you've been crucified. You are dead with Christ. And you're going to live with him. You're going to have a new body. Verse 12. If. See that word if? Oh, that's an ominous word. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, you get so discouraged, you profess to be an atheist. Yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You realize when you get saved, the Bible says in Ephesians, you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I can't believe it's 8 o'clock. Oh man, I am so sorry. But you're part of Jesus Christ. Let me go on a little bit, and then it's going to be a two-parter, no doubt. But when you get saved, you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And you can get so discouraged, and Christians, Lord, take a baby or something, they get so mad at God, they're like, there is no God. He's not going to deny himself. And if you're born again, you're going to heaven. All right? But notice verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Do you remember in the Bible over there in Matthew, Jesus Christ said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Remember that? What was he saying? He's saying, allow them, permit them to come to me. It says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If you will allow Jesus Christ to run you now, you're going to reign with him then. Now at the same time, maybe you have physical ailments and you're suffering tonight. You're in pain or whatever it is in the afflictions of this life. If you go through that loving Jesus Christ, you're suffering with him. And those afflictions are going to work in you an eternal weight of glory. and you'll be suffering with Christ, and you'll be earning a 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ through that suffering. Because many a Christian gets bitter and mad at God. And they're just like, I'm tired of it. And you've got to submit to Jesus Christ. He's God. He's your Lord. He knows what he's doing, and he's always right. But it says there, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, if you don't suffer the Lord to run you now. No, Lord, I'm saved. And Lord, it's not that I don't love you, but I just want to do what I want to do, the way I want to do it, when I want to do it, where I want to do it. I just want to live for me. He'll say, help yourself. But you're not going to reign with me for 1,000 years. You say, well, preacher, what will they do? I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure all the way. I just know you won't reign with him. It'll be obvious whether or not you love Jesus Christ. It'll be obvious. You know what you need to do? Live for the Lord now. Do right now. You say, but it's hard. It's just I don't have any friends, or I'm poor, or this. Yes, but it's working for you. You're earning things that when it happens are going to be absolutely spectacular. And man, you'll look back in that day, you'll be like, wow, I'm so glad I lived for the Lord. I'm so glad I suffered for the Lord. You'll be glad. You will not regret it. He says there, if we deny him, he also will deny us. You're not going to reign. Go to Romans. Go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 16. Romans 8, 16. Romans 8, 16, the Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. What's an heir? An heir is somebody that inherits riches. All right? And look at it, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, now watch it, and joint heirs with Christ. You need to meditate on that. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine being a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Now, that's riches, man. You think about that. I mean, you talk about riches. Uh-oh. If. Is that word, if? Ominous word. If so be that we suffer with him. Uh-oh, conditional clause. It's not automatic. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Is that thing? Go to Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Tonight, it's just, I'll wrap it up here in a bit. But I just want you to just get out of now. Get out of now. Get out of your cars and your houses and your things now. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have them. I'm not saying that. But your life cannot be wrapped up in all that stuff. Your life's got to be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that will help you is to see what you can get, what lies ahead, if you'll live for him now. And the Lord wants to give you this. And the Lord wants you to live for him. I mean, it's his desire for these things. Look at Colossians 3. And verse 23, Colossians 3:23. The Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, that covers it all. Do it heartily as to the Lord. I mean, men, when you go to work, ladies, when you're doing the housework or whatever you're doing, you're to be doing it heartily for the Lord. And if you cannot do it heartily for the Lord, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Amen. Notice here, heartily as to the Lord and not unto man, knowing, now watch this, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive, watch it, the reward, what is it? Of the inheritance. That's that 1,000-year reign. And it's said to be a reward. Rewards are earned or rewards are lost. It says there, the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there's no respect of persons. It doesn't say what it is. You say, what's going to happen to the Christians that don't live for the Lord? What are they going to do for 1,000 years? I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know. And we'll cover some stuff tomorrow night on some application that looks like what's going to happen. But my question for you tonight is, are you living in the light of what's coming? Or is your whole life wrapped up right now? There's so much the Lord wants to give you. There's so much. And you don't have to be a preacher or a missionary. All you have to do is find out what God wants you to do. Because he has a will for each one of you here tonight. You young people, Jesus Christ has a will for you. He's got a job for you guys. And if you find out what God wants you to do, then one of these days you're going to reign with Jesus Christ over this world. He'll give you cities. He'll give you work to do. And I mean, you'll be, the thought of reigning appeals to me. I'm looking forward to telling everybody else what to do. Amen. And if I get a city, there'll be no bars. There'll be no more drugs. There'll be no prostitutes. There'll be no more dirty jokes. I'll be able to travel faster than the speed of light. I mean, I'll keep it in order, man. And I'm going to rule with Christ righteously. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to leave you with that tonight. And we're going to cover this tomorrow night. But there's so much coming. And knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord. If you just try, if you just try to love him and do what you believe he wants you to do in light of this book, there's rewards coming. There's a time coming. And man, you'll be so glad you lived for him and did what he wanted you to do. You'll be so glad. Because there will be Christians shedding tears, wishing, that's a fool. And it'll be obvious. Don't let it be you. I don't want it to be me. I want him to be pleased with me. And by the grace of God, I'd love to get a city and reign with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Father, I pray that you'd help us to meditate on these things and just realize there's so much more than what's right now. So much more coming. And Lord, even if there wasn't, you're worthy of our all. You're worthy of us giving you our all. You've treated us much better than we deserve. Father, I pray you to help us to meditate on these things. And God, I pray that you'd bless tomorrow night as I go through more of a specific application. God, help us to realize. I know there's saints here tonight and there's trials they're going through. There's pain. Whether it's emotional or physical or other. And I pray, God, they might realize that they're suffering for Jesus Christ today is going to earn them some great rewards for 1,000 years that's just around the next corner. Father, I pray you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.